big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, your host. And this is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today I have on my California friend, Penn Kearns, and we're talking about Generation Z. See, we've spent so much time over the past many years talking about millennials, and rightfully so. But while we've been so focused on millennials, guess what? Generation Z has come up upon us. Generation Z, according to different sites, is anyone who's been born after 1995. And if you're looking at this, it's about 24 years now that we have people. So people who are 24 years and younger are in this Generation Z. And that fits in right with student and children's ministry and young adult ministry. And so how do you best minister to them? We've spent so much time focusing on millennials that we've forgotten about these guys, Generation Z. How do you best minister to them? And that's what Ben Kearns and I talk about, because he's been doing some blog posts recently about just understanding who they are, where they're at, how to do parenting well, what their spiritual formation is like. So I get him on the podcast and we talk about all this kind of stuff. And it's really, really great, because we need to start thinking about this. We need to start talking about it. And this is kind of a good conversation starter that Ben and I have. So without any further ado, let's get into our conversation right now with Ben Kearns, talk about Generation Z and understanding who they are. All right, with me right now is my one and only California friend. I think actually you are my one and only California friend, Ben Kearns.
Woo! I'll take it.
Yeah, hey, I really do think you are my one and only. Maybe I have other friends out there, but who knows? But you're my best friend from California.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. I'm feeling so that, you know, when you pull the trigger and get married one day, I get to come out and be a part of it.
Hey, you'll be my best man.
It's my long-term play.
That's good. I like your long-term play. Hey, so what's going on, Ben? How are you?
I'm great. You know, it's a freezing 57 degrees this morning out in California. So I'm bundled up with my T-shirt and a light jacket, you know.
Oh, gosh. We've got the polar vortex coming our way in a matter of hours. So we're going to get to, like, 6 degrees very soon.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means. I mean, one time they brought my car, and I had to wait a second before it melted off when I started my car. It was awful. I hated it.
You California people, your California living is something to dream about, for sure. I think the Beach Boys wrote a song about that. Or back in the day. Hey, so you wrote a series of blog posts recently in averageyouthministry.com that I thought was fantastic, or I thought all of them were fantastic, and so I wanted to talk about it. Are you game for that?
I totally am. You know, it's interesting. I realized it's probably been 8 or 10 years since I've really done a deep dive into what's been going on in the world and culture. The millennials, there's a billion things written about them. And so like 8 or 10 years ago, I did all this work and study. It's just kind of been confirmation bias from here on out. But to prepare for this class that I taught for our church, I just decided to, for my own development, to do a deep dive and to figure out what is going on and to, you know, to take a look at the studies and to read the books and to really get after it. And it was a life-transforming, heartbreaking, and kind of ministry-mandating sort of experience for me.
Yeah. I think you're right. And let's dig into this a little bit, because it kind of, when I was processing, you know, you and I talk about Generation Z here, it made me think, you know, gosh, for so long we talked about millennials. And again, there are people who are still focused on millennials, but those of us who work with teenagers still, we're focused on Generation Z now. It's a completely different generation. So as you've been processing this, what have you come up with as you've kind of been thinking about it?
So if it's okay if you humor me, I've kind of come up with kind of three shaping illustrations that get my head around it. And I think what's helpful to realize, and listen, I love Andy Stanley. I want him to hire me one day. North Point, the kind of the big churches in Christendom are like finally going, oh, we live in a postmodern context and foundationalism might be going the way of the dodo bird. And I'm like, oh, good job. Like 15 years ago. But what's happening with Gen Z is a totally different deal. And fortunately, Christians are trying to, like when we grew up in our heyday, the emerging church, you know, wanting to be a part of culture. And really, we had this theology, which just meant that we could watch rated R movies and not be judged. And it was a big lie in that there is this culture that's happening that we are totally powerless. The church is totally powerless to inform and correct and shape. And so the first illustration is, you think of like out in your neck of the woods, like the Atlantic Ocean, right? There's these currents that are powerful, that if you're just a boat, a gigantic boat, and you're just plopped in the middle of the ocean, there's a current that'll take you from where you live to England. Like, you don't have to do anything. Like, there's this massive current. And what's going on in our culture, what's happening in Gen Z land, is this giant cultural movement of humanism that shaping every ounce of our being. It's shaping secular people. It's shaping religious people. Like, you remember a long time ago, there was that book, Almost Christian, about moral therapeutic deism. Like that is just simply a reaction, a reflection that this humanistic culture is fully shaping us. And so we as the church need to get over ourselves and recognize we cannot change this current. That current is real. And so we are this tiny little sailboat that has to navigate, the Holy Spirit has to navigate how to be connected to Christ and how to move in and around the ocean with this giant current going on. So we got to understand the current, understand where it's going, and then therefore we can navigate those waters a little bit better. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, it makes complete sense. But let's dumb this down a little bit more. For someone who may not know what humanism is, how would you describe humanism?
So humanism is like, it's the logical conclusion that God is dead, that us human beings are the center core of all existence, which means my emotional well-being is the center and core of all reality. And you see this, right? Like, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. The customer is always right. Like, we have these little cultural idioms, like, like how I feel. Like, when you talk theology with people, it's how does it make me feel? The whole conversation about sexuality, there's no external authority. All the authority is bound inside of us. So like that looks like, usually for secular people, that's like hedonism, right? We just want whatever's going to do to cause our own pleasure. At the end of the day, we get to nihilism, right? So you can only eat so many M&Ms before you realize that that's not going to satisfy you. There's so much sex you can have before you realize that's actually not going to satisfy you. And our gotten to nihilism way faster than us Gen Xers and millennials. And I think that's why anxiety and depression is so rampant, because life truly is meaningless. And so how do they navigate the complexities? And then in Christendom, same thing. Like, think of Reckless Love, the best song of all time. It's just a total, I almost said an inappropriate word, but it's just love it, because they just love how much God loves them and how amazing that is. But you know, all the songs about God's glory and majesty and dying to the old rugged cross, like that, ugh, people hate those songs now. That humanism is what it is in a tiny little nutshell, and some impacting culture.
No, good. I think you did a very good job of doing that. And so I loved your illustration, again, because I'm on the East Coast and I understand the Atlantic Ocean, the currents and all that kind of stuff. So I love that. Okay, so that's your first part, is you're trying to do, this is where we're going. This is what's happening right now. And there's kind of no stopping that.
Okay, the second illustration you're going to love, being a Nationals guy, right? Baseball is a cool sport. It's our pastime. I love it. It's weird. I mean, it's hard to understand. The rules are weird. It's a complex sport, really. But I love it. And what's happening in culture and civilization, right? There's a game that we play and that we learn how to navigate. There's certain rules in which we've figured out as a culture, like in kind of the Judeo-Christian Western civilization, of how we've learned how to live. what it means to be married, what it means to work, what it means to have a family, what it means to be a good citizen, all those things we used to know. It's like playing baseball, but Generation Z doesn't know anything. It's like they showed up on a baseball field with a pile of bats and balls and helmets and mitts, but they don't know what baseball is. They don't know what any of it is. And so it's kind of Lord of the Flies. They're taking baseballs and they're hitting bats and they're hitting each other with it.
Yeah.
Because you just take a bunch of people who don't know anything about baseball with this equipment, they're never going to figure out what baseball is. And you realize as a culture, we are so scared to tell people what's right and what's wrong. We're so scared to tell kids what's right and what's wrong. And so because we don't want to be judgmental, but we've unintentionally given them no rules and no boundaries. And so they're totally lost. And as Christians and as Christian parents, we're like the last bastion of any sort of external rules and morality that helps kind of keep the guardrails on.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to teach kids how to play baseball who've never seen what baseball even looks like. And so we have to find new starting points and new language and be more patient, but we also get to be good news because we're going to be the one institution that treats people with human dignity, that values family, that, you know, that treats sexuality in a way that's not vacation. So I think it's good news, but it's going to be gnarly work. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. That makes sense. And you know, to be honest, as you were talking about it, it kind of sounds a little bit like your book that you wrote, From the Pen to the Palace. Don't you dig into
brilliant work? It's a brilliant work.
Hey, I personally liked it a lot. I mean, I know you only sold two copies, both of them mine.
You're my mom. I know.
Just kidding. But don't you dig into this as well in that book as well?
Right. Yeah. In that book, right, this idea that prodigal son leaves to go to the distant land that has no memory of what the father's house is like. And I firmly believe that Generation Z, even millennials, had at least of an echo of what kind of the Judeo-Christian moral universe looked like. And Generation Z has zero sense. Yeah. On my notes, there's a TED talk by this millennial transgender person that I think articulates exactly what's going through the heart and minds of this generation. And you're going to look at it and go, that doesn't look like any of my kids. But I think this person articulates it better than anyone I've seen.
Yeah. Well, no, I firmly believe it. So good. Okay. I like your illustration. So hit me with number three.
Okay. Number three. I think sea turtles are so beautiful. One time I got to go to.
You're going to hit me with sea turtles?
I know. And you see these sea turtles and you know, you're swimming with them and it's so beautiful, but you think of what the sea turtle really is. It's right. Thousands of them hatch up onto the sand and they are so cute and they're so beautiful. And then they run into the ocean only to have 90% of them devoured by the elements and fish and sharks. And I think for truly, and then some achieve adulthood and are beautiful and live. And I feel like Generation Z, we're so enamored by the young kids and we're so hopeful for them, but there's zero cultural backing that's protecting them. Mm. There's like their little league coach isn't, their dance instructor, their band teacher, their parents, even the church. We are just like, good luck. And they are self-medicating. They are checking out. They're getting on opioids. They're binge watching Netflix and playing Fortnite. They're on YouTube. They're fully disconnected and are not going to enter mainstream society. Now, the few that do are going to be the hardest working, driven people, and they're going to put all millennials out of business because they're going to work hard because they know that they made it by the skin of their teeth.
Yeah.
But I think we have to understand that there are a whole generation is being left to be devoured by the elements. And again, it's not only that they need to be learned how to play baseball, but they are being left to be devoured. And we as the church have to kind of gird up and be the safe hospital again for a generation of people that know nothing and are being devoured. Those are my three options for Gen Z.
Jude, I like that. And, you know, and what I love about what your blog posts were that it gives some really good background on this, digs a little bit deeper in it, and then you give some pro tips. I love your recent post where you had pro tips for parenting of Generation Z. Because, you know, you and I both know that we both have kids in Generation Z. So that was very helpful for me, you know. But what kind of encouragement would you give a student minister today who sees this and knows the current's coming and there's nothing they can do about it? What kind of encouragement would you give that student pastor?
So it's funny. After 2 weeks of my class, you know, I just fire hose these poor adults in my church, and they were just like, what do? And so I did. I came up with my pro tip to try to offer some bit of hope. And it's funny, as I reflected, it's nothing new. Nothing I said is new under the sun. It's every youth ministry pro tip we've ever told parents about loving their kids, being unconditional love, helping them get off the phone, don't let them whack off to porn all day. You know, nothing new, honestly. The only thing that's different is parents and the church are the only place where kids are hearing that information.
Yeah.
There'd be some cultural pickup with even some of those, like, hey, don't whack off the porn all day. Used to have some cultural agreement. And so my pro tips, there's nothing new under the sun, except that parents in the church have to gird up that whatever spiritual input parents give to their kid, whatever tiny little bit that they give, that's all that they're going to get. That is it. And what's so funny is we still live in this, we have this remnant of, we don't want to be fundamentalists and we don't want to cram religion down our kids' throats, but we always cram our values down our kids' throats. You know, when a kid goes, I don't like my math teacher, so I'm not going to go to math anymore. No parent in America is like, okay, you're right. I want you to be happy. Don't go to math. Yeah. Everyone's like, figure it out. Math. Like, I don't care. And yet, oh, Sunday school is boring, so I don't go to church. And every parent in America is like, yeah, I'm not going to force religion down my kid's throat.
Yeah.
So not that we, and so I think we force religion. We have to. We're the last minute, 20 minutes a week is the only spiritual formation our kids are ever getting anymore, which means we have to protect it and leverage it and use it well. So nothing new under the sun other than we're the last of the Mohicans.
Yeah, and that's where I think, too, is, you know, as a student minister, your ministry is not just to kids. It's really to parents as well, you know, and you really have to work hard to connect the two with you and parents. And so it's really vital. So you guys are working together and really kind of reinforce certain things, too.
Well, and it's a good thing. I mean, and I wish there was, like, some sort of ministry that would – kind of combine the light of the church and the heart of the family, you know, to leverage those influences together.
Yeah, we'll have to really think about it. Maybe like create like a yellow and a red, and you combine them together, and it's an orange or something like that. You know, maybe. Yeah,
and then you could drop $1,500 a year on some curriculum to help you navigate that.
That is fantastic. Yeah, that's great. Well, Ben, this is awesome. I love your insights because, again, when you write stuff, it's not very surface level stuff. Like my writing is very surface level stuff. You dig deep into this, and that's why I love having you on the podcast.
Yeah, well, I'm a broken man just trying to navigate it all. So,
well, dude, for anybody who doesn't know, how can someone connect with you? Social media and the blog posts.
AverageYouthMinistry.com has all my stuff. BenjaminKearns.online. Has my political musings, and yeah, that's kind of it, I guess.
Yeah, well, every now and then you're on Twitter, so @AverageYM, you know, at @AverageYM, you know.
Yeah, I suck at Twitter. Although I'm trying to get banned, like all like you know the dark web people.
It's the place to be, man. It's the place to be. So, well, Ben, as always, it's great having you on the podcast. So enjoy that nice California weather you've got there.
Yep, and just give me, you know, a 6-month countdown to when you're getting married so I can lose some weight and fit into my suit.
That'd be great. So I'll definitely keep that. Don't be holding your breath anytime soon, though.
You got it. All right, see ya.
All right, so there you have it, my conversation with Ben Kearns. It was great having him on, talk about Generation Z. And again, he's been really thinking about this for a long time, much more than I've been thinking about this. Again, as I've talked about at the very beginning, we've been focused so much time on millennials that we forget about Generation Z. And this is a great thing to talk about. And again, if you're working with children in student ministries, This is something you're dealing with on a daily basis, and I bet you could identify with his three illustrations about where they're at and where we're going, where we're trending, and where culture is going, because it's like that current. It's not coming back. It's going to keep on going. And so how do we best minister to these students and these young adults and these children? I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. So definitely hit me up on Twitter, at TA Pounder. Let's continue this conversation because we need to keep on talking about it. We need to be focused on this. So hit me up on Twitter. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this and what you're doing and what you understand and what you're learning about Generation Z right now. All right, here is where that wraps it up for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today. As always, if you enjoy the podcast, go to iTunes and subscribe to it, or ymsidekick.com. I've got the vlog there. I got blogs. I've got the podcast and my Twitter ebook. I've also got information about Digital Bootcamp, about the free Facebook group that you can join to learn digital tools to expand your reach in the students you're ministering to, the children you're ministering to, or the parents you're ministering to. It's a great Facebook group there. You can join them. So again, head on over to ymsidekick.com. All right, here is why. I hope you have a great rest of the day, a great rest of the week. And until next time, have a great one.